It's the Donegal Away Trip Talking Points podcast. Door is back. The long trip awaits. Sponsored by Specsavers Drogheda. But first, Oasis.
Come on now!
Sing it loud and sing it proud today.
So, we're on our way down the road here. We're just coming out of Enniskillen. We're driving along the lovely and scenic Loch Earn. Yous are having a bit of a ball, are yous, lads?
Yeah,
they're happy out. We've Loch Earn the whole way on our right hand side down the road. Hopefully on the way back down the road we'll be on our left, and we'll have a couple of points left on the Division 2 table, because just thinking about it, it's great travelling away days like this, seeing Loud take on the best teams in Division 2. That's why I really hope we stay in Division 2, because we're going to see some classy footballers now in the coming hours. Really nice trip, to be honest. Out to Enniskillen, through Rosslea, through Monaghan Town, no bother at all. Lovely roads, nice and composed. We'll be seeing Fermanagh in a couple of weeks' time, St Patrick's Day. So we have to go full out for this. We have a week break, drive into Donegal today, leave everything out there. And that's the thing with this Loud team. That's why they're so easy and enthusiastic to get behind, because they give everything to it, because they'll give everything today. They have a week break, they line it up. They haven't had a break. Even that after that Cork game, they had to play, the focus was switched to that Wicklow or Bourne Cup Shield or Bourne Shield. Maybe that has affected them a little slightly. But when you look at the injuries and that, you can still see the snow along the ground. Some place in Fermanagh, there's snow sunlight getting in, so there's still snow there from Friday night. And they're still focusing on trying to get that cold off. They're the team we're going to beat in a couple of weeks' time. But right now you're heading up the road against Donegal, and it's the heavy pitch in Ballyshannon. We get our men behind the ball, we focus and we rattle them, because we can see any team rattle another. Maybe I'm underestimating Loud, maybe I'm over-egging the quality of Donegal. They're probably not going to be as tuned in. I mentioned that in the preview, and I chatted to Conker over the weekend. A couple of their players was released to play club matches, although they were called off, they were still released to play that's in the squad. So that'll tell you slightly about the squad and the focus mentality of Donegal. And Jim, he wants to maybe test the squad out, and hopefully he'll live through that, because you need 100% focus. We'll be going in here 100% focused, taking 2 points, backs against the wall, away from home, play with a bit more freedom, similar setup to RD. Keep it tight, keep it functional, keep it structured at the back, and hopefully, this is the thing, we are creating more chances, aren't we, lads?
Yeah,
and we just need to take them. So if you're living off scraps, you're going to be more focused and more efficient. Take our goal chances, give them a little bit of panic. Sam nails down his freeze, get the scoring rate up, because the scoring rate hasn't been good. 3 points and 9 points and not great scoring returns. If we take all our chances and it all comes together, we can get an away victory against the top team. We've seen that yesterday in the championship, that it can be done. And it focuses the mind when you're away from home, and the group has been together over the weekend, taking full credit for that. And it's a real game to look forward to and enjoy, and just sit down in Ballyshannon, watch the lads perform. Hopefully they set up stall and frustrate and make it a real game, because we're never really out of a game. Not to how well we're playing or how bad we're playing, we're never really out of a game. That could make Donegal just our minds think to a place they didn't want to be, and hopefully that's the case today. But yeah, gorgeous Loch Earn beside us. 20 minutes coming into Ballyshannon now, probably actually 15 now at this stage. So roll on this big game at 2 o'clock. I actually think we can do it now. I'm getting closer to it. I think the away trip is not that unforgiving. It's actually nice, and a bit of crack, bit of unity, and yeah, focus the mind, efficiency comes up, and bang, we take our chances and we take all 2 points in Ballyshannon. So, yes, we got unity. We got that efficient score, and the efficiency actually went right up. But, unlucky for myself and the lads, we didn't come away with the result. The controversial goal probably stung us, but there's plenty to talk about before that on the Talking Points podcast. A little bit later than normal. The trip, it was a long, but enjoyable. Everything yesterday, bar the result, was absolutely amazing. You know, lovely trip, super weather, great performance. Just didn't get the result, unfortunately. Players held themselves really well. And Donegal showed a bit of class as well, and on and off the field. You're going to hear from Ger Brennan. You're going to hear from Jim McGuinness. You're going to hear from Donegal legend Martin Bjorg McHugh. His thoughts on Loud overall. His relations in the Colum Kills. I think they are living in Drogheda, he was saying. And a bit of a special shout out to great supporter of the Loud and Proud podcast as well, Paul Gibney. So you're going to hear that, and then I'm going to break down the usual flow of the game and matchups. And then I think about 50 talking points from the game. So there's plenty to get through. And I might actually, I did get the polls. If you're listening or subscribing, you might actually, you'll hear me on about Donegal's shooting area. Is it something to work on? And I got to ask Jim that after the game as well as a bit about the Martins as well. So you'll hear that. I'll probably split the Donegal, the Jim McGuinness into a podcast just for the subscribers, because he talks at length with both. Oh, there's so many Donegal media. It just shows, like, it's just a difference in the size of the county that he must be there for about half an hour afterwards talking to different media. So probably we sat around a huddle between probably 12 lads, six each. Deveni was there interviewing Charlie McGinney, all them boys doing loads of interviews for podcasts, for radio, for RT as well, and different papers. So just, yeah, it was just, especially with the time, and then even good with kids and then wanting autographs and what have you as well. So we'll get through all of that. So let's get, and as well, before I get into the football, unlucky to the Loud ladies who were stung with a late goal by Clare as well, and then big win for the Loud minor girls and all the other happening across the county as well. Right, so let's get into it. Matchups. I have it that Donal McKenney picked up Jamie Brennan. Dermot Campbell got the job of marking Oisín Gallan. Peter Lynch was on Paddy McBrearty. Lenny Gray was right half, and I think he picked up Audron Doherty. It's hard to see in the way they play, and I'll talk about that more in the talking points later on. Ryan McHugh more or less played a free role, as did Anthony Williams. So we'll talk about that later on. And then it looked like Shane O'Donnell was on the far wing in the first half from me. I was down with the crowd yesterday. Brilliant crack with the Loud supporters, and I've been getting their kind of flavour, and you get a real sense of what they're feeling on the ground as well. So I'll be talking about that in the talking points too. Then Kieran Thompson and Michael Langan went in the middle of the field to pick up Tommy and Conor Early. I think Langan was on Tommy and Early was picking up Thompson. Darrell Boyle was left half back wearing number 15. He went back to pick up Paul Matthews. Sam started on the 40. I'm kind of played out there. Donegal went full matchups. That's the way they're going. Very interesting. That's a big talking point later on as well. And Kieran Moore picked him up. Kieran McGonigal, who's been centre half midfield this whole time, went right out right half back to pick up Conor Grimes. Petter Mungan, wing forward the whole year, wing back, named to play number 7, went right into the corner to pick up Kiki. Man marking job again. Tom Jackson was picked up by Jack McKelvey. From the Cone, I'll talk about that later on. He was wearing the number 3 jersey, but he was down in the programme as a 17. McCall didn't play, so he wore the number 3 jersey and confused everyone. And then Mark Curran picked up Ryan Burns as well. So that's the matchups for you. So very interesting, and loads of talking points from that as well. So I began the game down low at ground level. It's fantastic. Really good feel for the game. Really good view as well. Lovely terraced all around it. Lovely stand. Great media facilities, although they're a little bit far away and you had to go underneath. So I decided to go out with the masses, and it was great. It's just, there's nothing more lovelier than a Loud supporters bus or loud travellers coming over to support their county. You know, you talk about the firm and these ultras travelling following soccer teams, but there's a great sense of camaraderie among loud people when they, it's like, you know yourself, you go on holidays, you meet someone from loud or that. It's that sort of same vibe, except you're there for a united approach to follow a team. And it was lovely there, you see lads catching up, and lads probably wouldn't even talk to each other, but we're in Donegal together, caught up and had a chat and talked about the game and how loud we're going to get on. I thought it was wonderful. I just loved that. It reminded me of Limerick UL a couple of years ago as well. Great hardcore loud supporters and great characters as well. And they give you a real hot and cold temperature gauge on the fans and their thoughts on it. So early on, 50 years on from the debut from Matty McDermott and flogger Jerry Farrell, and who's the other one? Was it Paddy McCartney? They all made the debut 50 years ago on that pitch, and it turned out we hadn't beaten Donegal in the last five meetings in Ballyshannon as well. So Paddy McBrady begins the game with a free in the right corner. The sun was just perfect conditions, brand new pitch, brand spanking pitch. Ignore all that when I was talking about a soggy pitch. Absolutely a championship pitch, a carpet, a snooker blaze. It was just incredible, firm, beautiful grass, just incredible pitch to play, and really looked the part as well. Cullen then hit us on a counter attack. We were countering very well. We attacked the game fairly well, but we were just punished. Same old, just getting punished. Sam then gets a score from play early on. Then McBrady pegs us again with a free. Kiki gets a great score running off angles. McBrady gets another free. And then McBrady from play. The referee's a little bit fussy, fouls inside, saw freeze, but they probably were. Just about 9. 5-2 are down now at this stage. Sam nails a free. Shane O'Donnell runs off the kick out. They were very good at trying to press their kick out. So it was real, instigation going on with that. They're trying to work on formation and press and kick outs and holding off, retention, conceding. It was really a tactical affair in that moment. 25th minute, Sam gets a free. Jack McKelvey gets a black card. Just a massive talking point as well that kind of went overlooked. I'm going to talk about that later on. Sam nails the free. Bournsey, Donegal were slacking. Bournsey punished them. 6-5. Gallen showed a bit of class. Gains that half yard, whips it over the bar. Grimes off a kick out, gets his first of his 2 points. And then Bournsey really intent on the loop. He's having some season. 7-7. We got them back level, but Donegal hit 2 points. Again, O'Donnell popped up. Really good play. And then McBrady peppers that another one with a free. I think he had 5 in the first half, 4 frees, and 1 from play. So 9-7 they lead at the first half. But it was tight. And you kind of thought, if this keeps tight, they're a little bit off, we could catch him. We could sneak this here. And it was going that way. They hit 3 points in a row over the course of half time. McGonigal drove up the field a little bit easy after half time, still probably in the dressing room. Sam then gets the response going. A second from play, they make it 10-8. Then McKenney comes up the field, had a great game, made it 10-9. McBrady another free, soft. Sam gets a hand in and fouls. Conor Early showed a bit of class, turnover, a bit of bite to it, makes it 11-10. That would be as close as we would get, because McBrady then nails us with a free either side of a goal, Jack McKelvey goal. Hard to make out at the time, but that pushed down to 1-3 to 10. 6 points advantage, and that was it. Long Darrell Beale shot. We hit the ball away just beforehand. We're doing that a lot. We didn't get punished in the first half, but they punished us at that moment. Could have been a square ball. Could have been a correct contact in the hand pass crossover. Was he in? Did he bundle it in? Was it a free out? Was it a penalty? Anyway, I don't know. We're going to talk about that later on in the talking points, but they went 6 ahead, and that was where the game was taken out of it. That's where the sneaker went. If we didn't keep it tight enough, they could control it then. Although Conor Grimes did nail a second point, and Sam did hit a free to respond, show our character and resilience, but they went 1-14 to 14 up. Liam got to come on, hit a point. We threw on a lot of subs. Niall Sharkey came in, Kyle McElroy, Jay Hughes, Sean Murray came in as well. But Sam gets another really good, Mark, to make it 1-14 to 14, and Gallen, they just knew how to win out the game and close out the game. Gallen gets 2 points either side of Langan, and then maybe a lack of patience, but this is a big talking point as well. 117-15, Sam gets the last score of the game with a 45. Right, you're going to hear from Jerry Brennan straight away, and then you're going to hear from me talking to Jim McGuinness, and then I'm going to add on the bit from Devaney, Brendan Devaney, his thoughts on it. Actually, no, I'm going to give you Charlie more insight, and then let me see, what way to break it up, because you're Martin McHugh as well. I might just go to Martin McHugh first. Yeah, I'll go to Martin McHugh first, and then I'll come back in. Joined here on the Loud and Proud podcast in the aftermath with Donegal great Martin McHugh. Martin, what's your overall thoughts initially after the final whistle?
Just glad that we got the 2 points, you know, because at half time it didn't look good. Like, Louth playing with a fair breeze behind them in the second half, and only just 2 points in it. But I felt that Donegal reasonably always play well against the breeze and hold on to possession, and made a lot of mistakes the first half. Donegal, a lot of silly possessions, probably had one if not two goal chances, didn't take them. But yeah, at the end of the game, from a Donegal point, you'd be happy enough, because considering the players that we had out playing and everything else, so you know, we had a lot of players. We had Kieran Moore fullback for the, I've never seen him playing fullback. He's only in the team this year, and he had a great second half. He can, but Sam Mulroy is an unbelievable footballer. Just great to see him playing here in Ballyshannon. But from Kieran Moores, he did put him on the back foot a bit the second half and tried to drive forward. It's a better second half performance at Donegal. Louth have a lot of very good players, and it's understandably why they've been so close to the other teams in it. I mean, they've been very unlucky, Louth, you know, and I hope they stay up, because they don't, looking at that Louth team, you know, the teams we have played so far, they don't deserve to go down. Now, it's going to be a battle from here in for them, but they're a good side, a lot of good footballers, and a lot of big men.
Yeah, did you ever feel though Donegal were going to lose that game? No,
probably not. Yeah. That's the funny. I said at half time, I still think Donegal, on the radio, I was doing local radio here, and I said Donegal probably won the game anyway. They'll still be good enough to win it. Maybe that's a thing that I don't know what way to make of that, but I just thought that way myself, that Donegal were always going to win the game. And but I thought Donegal got a grips a wee bit around the middle of the field the second half.
Fadden coming in was a big boost, literally.
And then look at Darrow Beale was shooting for a goal, for a point, and the ball dropped. McFadden won it, or got it, or his hands on it, and laid it across to Jack McKelvey. Look at another day, that wouldn't happen. It just was kind of, he was going for a point.
Yeah.
He was going for a point, and you know, just that's a wee bit of luck you need, and you know, a wee bit of luck you need and you get, and maybe sometimes we get it, but. You know, it's a tough division, you know. People say Armagh ahead of the rest. And
I would say Donegal.
Well, I don't know. Armagh.
Jim was tweaking a few times
he
allowed to tweak it in one sense.
Well, he is. Maybe that's a good thing coming in the second division, that he'll be able to make changes now the next day. Because they're probably, one more one, I would say, he'll probably get promotion for Donegal. And, you know, they meet at home in the last game. And the fact that, well, we know Meath will not throw in the towel now, but the fact that they've already qualified for the Sam Maguire, if they're not in a position to get promotion and they're safe, they're probably, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do when they come. But I just think that I think still Donegal need promotion, I think it's important, because to catch up to the Derrys and the Armaghs and the Tyrones and the Kerrys and Dublins of this world and the Mayos and the Galways, I think you need to be in Division 1.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just finishing on Loud, is there a bit of in focus there with Donegal today, like, and Loud didn't punish them?
Probably, you know, in a way, maybe, I don't know, can you say maybe Louth hadn't enough belief in themselves? Maybe not. And that can happen to a team that, you know, are there. And I mean, losing games and every close games, it's hard to beat one in matches. See, Donegal are one in the games now since Jim McGuinness came back. They're starting to win game. And Louth have definitely, you know, they're an exciting team. They've got a lot of quality players, and I think they need to
Is it the first time you've seen them up close?
Yeah, first time I've seen them in a long time up close,
yeah.
But I think they need to believe in themselves. Like I just said after the game, I wouldn't like to be playing that Louth team in Louth. I'm glad we got yous here, you know. So look at, if you look at Louth, I think there are a lot of footballers, good footballers, and even back in my time, Louth always produced great footballers, you know, always great footballers. So, you know, it's no different. I think just a wee bit of belief in themselves, a wee bit of belief that they're good enough to, you know, that's the big thing that you do. I remember when I went into Manish Cavan, they'd lost 7 first round Ulster championships in a row, and they just didn't have that belief in themselves. There's 15, 20 footballers in Louth as good as 15 or 20 footballers anywhere else. And, you know, you've seen it there the day, and they've a couple of very quality footballers there out there when you see them out there playing. So yeah, I wouldn't like to be playing Louth in the Leinster Championship and that, but I wouldn't like to be playing Dublin either, so
true.
I just hope Louth don't play Dublin. I was at the game last night, and they were the most impressive team I've ever seen, you know, at the minute. Yeah.
You mentioned Calvin, good friend of mine on the podcast, Paul Gibney. He just slipped away when the one, maybe that was the key factor to Calvin that year, was it?
That was the factor. The minute Paul left, it made the difference that we got over the line then and everything else. Just to say hello to Paul, it's great to hear that he's still about the place, that he's not far away. He used to be in Kingscourt, I know he's probably moved to Louth now and everything else. So wish him well and use well with the podcast. I think it's a new way forward, these podcasts. Yeah. For us older fellas, we barely can turn on the phone, but for all these younger lads, it's a podcast. And I mean, I do hear a lot of people listening to podcasts, and it's great. It's brilliant to have it. And it's given a profile, another profile of the county players. And with the work and effort they put on, they deserve everything, you know, that profile and everything they get. If it helps them to get jobs or to do anything, because I see it, my own lad that's playing there. I mean, it's all full time, and that's it they do. So it's anything can happen in a county, and to promote Gaelic football in the county as well. I know Louth will be a big soccer county as well, so it's good to have youth boys doing this and supporting the GAA in the county, and long may it last. There's a big population in Louth now. There's I have relations there in Colum Kells, which are, I was to be telling them there, maybe they should be playing with Louth.
They're
right on the border and they're playing with Meath.
You'd have to get on to them.
Them Meath ones are hard. You can't get away from the Meath ones. Right.
Thanks, Martin. Thank you. So a great shout out there from Martin McHugh. I always remember, I think I was travelling home one of the games, maybe it was Tullamore, Louth and Kildare, and he would have always raved about Louth footballers as well, and his nephew Ben Gillick is a good footballer. He would have won a minor with the Kills. So if he's living in Drogheda, we'd have to tap him up, get all them Kills by, stop robbing our players from the Tones and what have you, that side of town with the Knicks as well. But yeah, great chatting to him. And it was funny, I was asking him, where was your young fella playing? And he said he was centre half back, but he in the matchups he wasn't, and because they all said Kieran Moore was full back, he played full back, but Sam started on the 40, drifted in and out. It's he didn't play full back, you know. It's just the way it kind of it looks from the throw in, yeah, but it didn't play it that way at all. Sam was inside outside all over the field. To be honest, there's no real full forward anymore. It's just one maybe inside man, and that floats and rotates all the while. But yeah, so we're going to hear more now. Jer is going to talk about this controversial goal. He is going to give he's really honest, and I kind of ask him at the end about how well he knows the squad and his use of the squad. And then you're going to hear from Jim McGuinness, who's very good with his time, like I said. And you'll hear me talking to him first, posing that question to him, and then I'm going to give you the Charlie McGettigan. Is it Charlie McGettigan? Let me look that up. Right, okay, Charlie Collins, I looked it up there. Not Charlie McGettigan was the one, the Eurovision, I think. But yeah, Charlie Collins as well. He gets a bit out of Jim more so than Devaney does. But yeah. That's it, have a listen to these now.
J.R. Brennan, Louth manager. J.R., that's another hard one to take, another tough one, given the effort that your lads put in again today, and it all came down to that controversial goal midway through the second half. Your thoughts on it, J.R.?
Yeah, Colin, disappointed all right now. It's been a couple of games now on the bounce where we haven't quite been good enough to get the job done, so it's obviously puts us under a bit more pressure now coming down the home stretch with two big games coming up now against Fermanagh and Kildare that we'll just have to go and win to secure Division 2 status. But overall, the game itself, look, I thought our lads they battled hard, probably slow to get going in the first half, but eventually kind of found their feet and worked themselves into the game, and I think coming in at half time a point or two behind, probably that scoreboard freeze we're conceding is something there. We're still trying to continue to work on. That's probably keeping a couple of teams in. Obviously, Donegal are quite jinky. They're fairly deliberate in how they attack and draw the defender in. That's something the lads did work on during the week. And at times, we came out on top. But again, another part of the game, you have to go after.
You were quick into the dressing room after. You had the television set up to have a look at the replays of the goal. What's the thinking at the end of it?
Well, look, unfortunately, I always look at myself first and ourselves first. We had possession and we we lost it further up the pitch. So that's the first thing, is can we work on the skill execution when we're in possession? We were a bit loose, just unfortunately, on a couple of occasions, and Donegal are a very strong counter-attacking team. So from that unforced error, we allowed Donegal to run through pretty much 13, 14 players. So again, trying to identify and work on when to track or when to cover space. Look, the referee has to take the word of his umpires, but it's disappointing to see the goal like that, but it is what it is. Yeah.
What is it about loud referees in the last three or four matches? We seem to be talking about them constantly.
Yeah, well, I personally don't, as you know. I think they're looking to we need referees, and they're always looking to improve. I thought Paddy Nealon overall, the free counter is probably level enough. That decision, he's obviously taken the words of his umpires, and they're obviously his men. He has to trust them.
But it was a huge momentum changer in the game. I know you got a bit of momentum back. You came back to within one score, I think twice. But the goal, when you look back at it, that really was the winning of the game for Donegal.
Yes, simple as that, yeah.
So two games left, 2 points on the board, still all to play for. But again, great energy, great commitment. These lads really battling for everything.
And look, I suppose I would learn quick enough when I was playing. You don't always get what you deserve in sport. You have to go and really try and take and grasp with two hands. And the league table doesn't reflect how hard the team have been working, the players have been working, and the honesty of the group. But I know they'll dust themselves down. We'll all dust ourselves down. We'll look at the footage and see aspects of our game where we can improve, Colm, and try to put things right for Fermanagh.
You were able to bring a few bodies in there. Liam Jackson obviously coming back today, one or two others as well, making an input in the second half.
Yeah, but and we are, rightly or wrong, you look, when the manager is playing you, he's great. When he's not playing you, the manager's a you-know-what. So I try to be fair and upfront with the guys who haven't been getting much of the game time, where if they're putting in a bit of a shift in training and they're looking to improve, that we'll try and give them their chance now. To be fair to Sean Murray, Jay Hughes, guys coming in, it was a tough game to come in, but Kyle McElroy as well, but obviously good with Liam Jackson, some of his experience and the calibre to get minutes into his leg. He's due to move back home to Louth very soon.
Confident you can still stay in this division, two games to go?
I don't know is the answer, Colin, because the only thing I'm confident about is how hard we're going to work in the next 2 weeks to try to put things right, but it would be a foolish man to make statements like that.
So 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks now, the home game against Fermanagh and RD, an absolute huge match, one really you have to win.
No, definitely you have to win. Look at our Fermanagh are playing Armagh there at the moment. I'm not sure what score it is, but they're obviously currently on 3 points pending the outcome of that match today, so we're right in the mix and the fight for Division 2 status with Armagh, with Fermanagh in 2 weeks' time.
A lot of players putting the hand up again today. Conor Grimes, even though he's dashing back to Drogheda, so he was available for today, which I'm sure you were glad about.
That was great. Conor's wife is due any time, so he in fairness to him, now he's managing the demands of being a husband and soon to be father, and the demands of being an intercounty player. And you know, it's a testament to him the fact that he took up the road and obviously the support of his wife and his family to help him get up and put on the loud jerseys today. And he obviously put in a huge shift.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
I probably sound like a parrot at this stage, but the scoreable free count, again, like compared with what Louth they're getting from frees, it's killing you, Jerry, in many ways.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're kind of getting back, we're popping up, we're working hard to get a score, and the next play, the trend seems to be results in a scoreable free or a handy shot against us, and it's just a case of being a bit more disciplined and cuter in how we defend ourselves. We're and probably understanding that certainly a lot of the Ulster counties, it's obviously something they're quite good at, to be fair to them, in kind of drawing frees in opposition's defensive third. So yeah, look, we're very much aware of that. That's something we need to work on.
The three game sequence, three losses, this is probably the one that felt like we're never going to win that level twice, and they pulled away. Did you sense that on the sideline?
Well, I think the better team on the day won. Fair play to Donegal. I thought they were very clinical in how they transitioned from their defence to attack. They rarely put a foot wrong, and again their usage in the final third was again, you know, probably a bit cure. Now that said, our shot to score ratio, we got 15 scores. That's a big improvement. That was one thing we were working on as well and chatting about during the week, so it was good to see some of those scores go over the bar today.
A 3 week run of consecutive defeats, though, I know we speak about very competitive. But
it's all about winning, Cregan. It's all about winning and you have to call a spade, but it's a case of looking at what was good, looking at what was not so good, and you just see, can you learn and continue to improve, and obviously try to keep the group honest and the selection of it honest and the 26 honest and who we might bring on or start, you know. So, but you just have to stick to the same plan and keep working hard at it. And we're definitely due a bit of luck. We haven't gotten it yet, but it would be nice if Lady Luck was to shine on us at some stage in the next couple of weeks.
Is it technical, or Martin McHugh after the game said that Lady Luck like they lack belief?
Well, that's probably something which has come up with the players, and I know the previous management was something that was spoken about. It's the fact that they're able to compete now and compete valiantly at this level. It does take a while to break through that glass ceiling, Dan. And I know from my own playing experience, I started off in Division 2 on a Dublin team, and we hadn't won in a long time. Eventually we bet Kerry down in Clare, you think maybe 2009 or 10, and we won the All-Ireland a year later, and that was obviously a big turning point. So it's trying to make that breakthrough in games like this and some of the previous games that we've lost recently, and for the lads to actually know that they're as fit and as strong as anyone else. They have massive talent, they have massive heart, just to kind of back themselves and keep driving on. But tradition does play a part, you know. But it's trying to create their own tradition, I suppose. Yeah.
And then, do you find yourself with the substitutions? You're getting to know your panel a little bit better.
I suppose with some of the guys you're bringing in, you're to be fair to them, they are working hard, and you know there's a lot at stake in all these games. So you're kind of looking at some of the experienced fellas. In more recent games, albeit today, we brought in a couple of new lads. So it's, how do you get experience, you know? The lads are asking me that, how can I become an experienced player if I don't get the chance? And it's a tough and honest question the players ask, but we try to blood as many as we can to keep strengthening the depth of the panel. We've a couple of behind closed doors challenge games coming up in the next week as well to get game time into a lot of those players against other inter-county teams, which will freshen them and sharpen them up as well.
Gerard, sorry, I won't keep you long. Apologies, I missed the top when the guys from LFF and the live media. This is Michael Daly from Daly's Donegal. Look, I'll cut to the chase because I've been talking to people on the other end. What's your take on the goal? Because I know you've seen the first thing you did was when you saw a video analysis.
Well, we were in possession of the ball and we lost it, Michael, so that in itself is the most important question that I have to answer. I said we lost the ball. They say it, Cregan. Donegal obviously broke through, did particularly well, and the referee has to trust his umpires. The umpire said it was a goal. The umpire said it touched off allowed knee as opposed to a Donegal man throwing the ball in, and the referee has to go with that, to be fair to me.
So listen, the score, you were aware of the score about changing because we were getting messages that there was a point with a question mark, so it ends up Donegal win by 3 points. That goal clearly is crucial. But having said all that, the other thing that struck me was, and I'm not suggesting they weren't free, but Conor McBurkey alone scored 8 points from frees. So is there a little bit of a sort of a question in the back of your head about that?
In terms of why we conceded so many
frees? I'm not trying to criticise.
No, referees have to call us to see it. I'm not going to criticise them either.
Yeah. And in terms of, look, you know, you're in a bit of a foxhole now. You said it to the loud media here as well. What can you take out of this is very positive, because at no stage from a Donegal perspective do we feel comfortable.
Well, we'd be very happy with the shooting. The shot to score ratio was up in the 60s today, which was our first time all year, and that in itself is a big improvement.
Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, cheers, Dan. Cheers.
We understood and knew that life would be tough because the results hadn't reflected the way they played. That's the way it turned out today.
Yeah, that's a tough tactical battle, I suppose, in the first half, Charlie, and a team that were very well organised, very well set up, that asked a lot of questions of us. We would be disappointed slightly with our own control of the game in the first half, but that sort of flipped in the second, which we were happy with, and another 2 points on the board.
Yeah, 2 points over half time. It looked pretty precarious with that one, to face that one in the second half.
Not really, to be honest with you, because like, the one thing we are comfortable at is running the ball. I think it's pretty much in our DNA, and I think, to be honest with you, Derry have been in very difficult situations a couple of times this year, you know, in terms of the scoreboard and the you know, against the Breeze in the second half, and that's when they're at their best, because they are a brilliant running team. So we weren't overly worried about that. I think there is an element of that as well, where when you have the Breeze in the first half, that you sort of you rush things a wee bit, and I think we were probably thinking that's probably a 5 or 6 point Breeze there. We need to make sure we get points on the board here, and you're pushing it a wee bit more than you should be pushing it, and that might have an impact on decision as well. You're looking to get it done really fast, and the reality is, whatever length of time it takes, as long as it's a quality shot off and it's on your terms, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, we still have 2 points in it when that goal came, so that was a hugely significant score in the game today.
Absolutely, and all goals are significant, and you know, we were thankful that that it ended up in the back of the net for us, and give us that wee bit of breathing space, and allowed us to settle a bit as well, and play more, I suppose, intelligently on the ball in the second half in terms of stretching them and looking to get runners, you know, moving at the right time.
Patrick McBurney showing a lot of leadership there today with his points from freeze and from play.
No, very much so. Like, I suppose, you know, Patrick would have been criticised heavily enough over the last number of years, and since I come in, he's working tremendously hard. And listen, when you're working hard, you know, you're always going to get the benefit out of it at some stage. You know, and I suppose even early in the year in the McKenna Cup and all that there, he wasn't there at that stage, but he's continuing to work and continuing to work. And if he does continue to do that there, you know, he's getting leaner, he's getting sharper, you know, he's getting his eye in now with his finishing. You know, it stands to sense if you're working hard every single night, you're going to improve down the line. And thankfully, that's the case for him, you know.
A few eyebrows raised when we heard that who was going to replace Stephen McMillan and Brendan McCall in the team today. It seemed like you were going to play about 14 forwards there.
Well, that's true. I suppose 4 out of the 6 defenders were forwards in a former life today, you know. And that does reflect, I suppose, I think where the game's going and people being comfortable, but equally it's not good enough anymore just to have the ball. It's what you do with the ball and how you can attack with the ball, and so yeah, you know, these are all concepts that you have to look at whilst joining the the circles together as you go into a big game against Derry, because that's one thing that they're very good at. Like, you look at Derry's fullbacks, and they're probably as good as any of their forwards in terms of attacking. You know, their decision making, their timing. You know, Conor McCluskey scored the goal at the weekend. You know, the timing and the ruthlessness of that from a corner back was brilliant to see. So that's kind of the way the thing is evolving at the moment. And so it's interesting from our point of view to see who can do what. You know,
are you concerned that the guys who are out seem to be taking quite some time to come back, or has that been just carefully managed?
Well, listen, Charlie, I'm grey. My daughter actually says I'm not grey anymore. I'm white, but I'm grey. But you know, it does put, you know, it's difficult. Like, you know, you want everybody in, and you want them all there, and you want to be working with them, and then that's when you really, really understand what you've got and what tactical flexibility you have. Whereas when you don't have them, you're restricted. So, as I keep on saying, we'll welcome them back with open arms whenever they're becoming available, which they are starting to become available, thankfully.
And the final one, the mathematicians have been working here, a couple of them on the left-hand side. They reckon 1 more 1 will get us promoted. I'd love to prove these boys wrong, Jim, but I hope
you don't prove them wrong in this situation. I hope that that's the case. I don't know, is Armagh still playing? Are they still
they
going?
Are leading by about 5 or 6.
Okay, there was
no
two.
It really matters because, you know, Cavan can only get to 11. And we'll
yeah, I think the big one will be Cavan against Armagh, really. That's the big one. And if Armagh won that game, then it's going to be difficult for anybody, I think. But we will have to go, and we will have to get our own house in order for Kildare and try and come away with there with 2 points. And I think if we do that, probably we'll not be too far away at that stage.
Another exam passed today, anyway, Jim.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
Jim, coming from a Loud perspective,
yes.
You're an honorary Nave Martin man at this point. did that help your preparations for today's game?
I suppose it did and it didn't. You know, we had a good idea, like, you know, in terms of Louth and what they were going to look to do and where the threats were going to come from, and they weren't all Neve Martin men, but yeah, very, very direct. You know, a lot of really good runners. Conor Grime has been doing very well in the lead into that. Tommy Dern in the middle of the park, you know, and Kieran Keenan, very good player, very, very good left foot, you know, and obviously Sam, you know. So yeah, we knew where the threats were going to come from with them, and they brought that spirit as well. So, it was a tough first period for us. But thankfully we responded in the second.
You enjoyed your time in Monasterboice working with them?
Oh, no, it was great. It was great, you know, and there's a lot of them now at the minute that's away in Australia, like, you know, and a lot of county players too, yeah, you know, amazing. So they would probably, you know, help Louth's cause at the moment and, you know, aside from the club.
And then just a couple of, we mentioned the podcast leading into it, the experimentation and sort of stuff you've looked at since being away. Would you say you're trying to find, say, a 3-point range in Gaelic football? Say, outside the ball stops, shooting from... I know Louth kind of stopped you today, either side of the D, but is that something you're working on?
Ah, listen, you're always looking at that. I think the opposition will dictate a lot of that as well. You know, teams that really, really sit in, you know, ask a lot of questions. You know, teams that are pushing out, they're creating pockets of space. Some teams allow you to get into certain areas and don't allow you to get into certain areas. A lot of teams are playing with a lot of depth, you know, and so, all of those factors kick in. For us, we've identified a number of areas that we're looking to improve on and a number of areas that we want to understand will they be good enough for in the championship, and we're probably using every league game as a platform to look at one or two things, and then eventually try and piece it all together. And some of the areas we're happy with now, some of the areas haven't got enough attention, probably because we've been looking at the first set of areas, and we still have 7 weeks, I think yesterday maybe, to the Derry game. So the first year back and new players and new system and all that, there's an awful lot going on, and you can't fast track it. You have to work your way through it in order to understand what you have. Our disappointment at the minute is we have a lot of players that are not training with us at the minute that are missing those bits and pieces. But anyway, I think they're, you know, looking at the games last night, Lee Gannon looked like he got a bad hamstring, you know, Owen McLaughlin as well. So it's challenging, you know, they're big games and there's a lot riding on these games for a lot of teams at the minute, and that's reflected in how hard people are pushing, you know. So we have to be thankful. I don't think we picked up any injuries today. We have to be thankful for that.
Great, thanks for time.
Thank you.
Jim. Yeah, Jim's the man, and Charlie's the man too. And Dave Martin, I kind of wanted to, like, he didn't know his stuff on us, but I wanted to nearly ask him. You want to talk to Jim for ages, but I should have said, I said it to Conker last week. Did he have, was that the spark that got him back into managing? Are we to blame, like I said, to Conker? But yeah, let's finish up. Let's get the talking points on the way. Your free talking point. If you're not a subscriber, hopefully you do so sign up and subscribe. Plenty more happen. We're going to be getting into the transfers. We're going to be talking Fermanagh. You get that extra Donegal gym podcast as well. So plenty happening on Loud and Proud to sign up for. But talking point number one, is it Groundhog Day? Is it the same old, same old? We're getting so close, we're not getting there. That was kind of the main talking point. And kind of like the rest of the games, there was never a game that we looked like we're going to win at any stage. You know, Donegal just had that bit of class, that extra clarity, but despite our unity and praying really well and trying really hard, it's just the story of every game this year. Even the one we won against Cork, it's just that sort of Groundhog Day. It's just turned against us, no luck, errors, freeze, missing scores, missing goal chances, loose play. So Groundhog Day, that is talk point number one. I have another 49 from Jack to Jessica to Tom J to RHB to Missing Freeze, loads in there. So sign up now, patreon.com/loudandproud. Coverage brought to you by Specsavers Drogheda. Thanks very much for listening to the Loud and Proud, the Ills of Donegal Talking Points podcast.